It's time now to get behind the headlines of this week's Hendersonville Lightning with editor and publisher Bill Moss.
Good morning and welcome to Lightning Radio. The lightning is on the streets. The lightning is in your mailboxes. And because it's Thursday, it is on your radio with Bill Moss, editor and publisher of Hendersonville Lightning and HendersonvilleLightning.com. Good morning, Bill. Welcome to another edition of Lightning Radio, our 1 week away from Thanksgiving.
Absolutely. And I guess one last day of Indian summer.
Right, yeah, I think exactly right.
Really pretty out there today, and then it's going to drop by, 20 degrees or something.
Going to get cool, especially towards the beginning of next week. Especially then.
Frost on the pumpkin and sweeten up the collards. Get that nip of frost. That'll be sweeter.
And then just a reminder that next Thursday is Thanksgiving, so there will be no Lightning Radio next week.
Sad but true.
But that's okay. We're going to fill you up with news today because the Lightning is, once again, jam-packed with news. Bill, let's start with Four Seasons politics. Never a dull moment with Four Seasons politics.
No, we coined that that term for our political coverage in the print version and in HendersonvilleLightning.com almost 10 years ago. Not absolutely sure that we would be able to sustain that year-round, but boy, that has not been a problem to sustain the Four Seasons politics rubric day after day, week after week, month after month. So in this case, our rookie freshman and renowned Congressman Madison Cawthorn made even more news than people thought he might make locally by withdrawing from the what is now the 11th Congressional District, will be renamed the 14th, in order to go down the mountain a little ways toward Cleveland and Rutherford and Gaston counties and run in this newly drawn District 14.
Right. So, which he can do because, from what I understand, you simply just have to live in the same state. You don't have to necessarily live in the district.
You don't have to live in the district. 2 years ago, when this seat was open because Mark Meadows had resigned to become President Trump's chief of staff, we were looking back on that just to check the numbers and who it was and so forth. There were 10 Republicans running for the Republican nomination, and several of them lived out of the district near, like in Boone or I think Jefferson County, that actually some counties that are, Watauga County is now in it. But no, you don't have to. He can move if he wants to. We'll see about that. But now that opens, it seems to open the floodgates for, we may have 10 or more again this year because it's open now. And it's gotten slightly more blue, but not so much that anybody really would regard it as competitive. So the Republicans think if they win the nomination, they have a really good shot of being elected, and they are probably right.
So there'll be a lot of names in the pot come primary time in March.
Right, and we have some we can name right now.
Okay.
Well, one is full colonel, retired, Rod Honeycutt, and makes a good case for himself. One of the things he talks about is, yes, I've got a lot more experience. And these first three I'm going to talk about, they were already in it.
Right.
They were already in it running against Madison Cawthorn. Mm-hmm. They were willing to, they were throwing down and say, for experience reasons or reasons that not so much policy things, often experience, just touting their own experience, saying it's a lot more than our 26-year-old incumbent, Mr. Cawthorn. Anyway, Colonel Honeycutt talks about, I got the call when Trump tweeted that we were withdrawing from Afghanistan to go from Syria to Afghanistan to write the drawdown plan, to write the withdrawal plan. And then, of course, he's quick to add, the plan that we, the military, wrote is not the one that the State Department executed. State Department, as he said, desynchronized the plan and discarded, according to Colonel Honeycutt. But he makes a lot of reference, of course, to his own, to his 37 years experience, and he'll be a candidate to watch for sure. Wendy Navarez is from out, I think maybe Murphy, I'm not exactly even sure. Her county is out west there. She's running as well. And Bruce O'Connell, who we say in here, scored his 15 minutes of fame back in 2013, not a COVID shutdown, but a budget shutdown when the National Park Service tried to shut down his Pisgah Inn.
Right.
He's the owner of Pisgah Inn.
Right.
And he scored his 15 minutes of fame, got some coverage, even some of it national, I think, and ended up winning the right to reopen. He had a lawsuit, but the government settled, excuse me, and allowed him to reopen. So that's the three in there. Later on today, you see one more of the eight pictures on the front that I think in another 4 hours is going to be confirmed, and that's Michelle Woodhouse. She lives in Laurel Park. She's she's a business owner. She moved from Raleigh, originally from Michigan. Is the chair of the Republican Party, 11th Congressional District, and she's expected to announce at noon today at Republican Party headquarters.
Okay. And so all the ones you've named here, these are all the ones running for the Republican seat?
No, they are they are the ones either running, the first three, I said, and then Michelle, I think, later today. And then we sort of do the great mentioning. Will State Senator Deanna Ballard of Watauga County get in it? Will our own Senator Chuck Edwards get in it? He's looking at it. We talked to him. That didn't make it in the print issue. It will in on HendersonvilleLightning.com. His comments. Will State Senator Ralph Heiss of Spruce Pine get in it? He's fairly young. Deanna, they're all three, you know, young enough to, if they want to try that part of their career in the national legislation instead of state, we shall see. And then a name that comes up a fair amount, and this is not even all. I heard yesterday one more state senator from out west of here might get in it. But Matthew Burrell ran briefly in 2020, but he started getting involved in he had a very successful financial advice business that he was selling at the time, and he had to withdraw from the race. It was already very crowded at that time.
Okay. And then that, of course, doesn't include the number of Democrats trying to run, which we will see in the primary.
We have that in there. I think it's eight. We don't focus as much because the news was obviously Cawthorn creating the opening on the Republican side. But to be sure, there are, I think it's eight Democratic candidates that have been there, many of them almost since January 6th of 2020, of this year, of 2021, and almost since the, you might even say since, whether or not that was like 2 days after Madison Cawthorn would have been sworn in.
Right, right.
But it was very soon after he was sworn in that he drew quite a few challengers on the Democratic side.
Very much so. It's going to be a busy, busy primary come March. Very busy. Let's stay on some politics, and let's get just even a little more local if we can. Bill Lapsley is running again, seeking another term.
Yeah, at age 73, I think it is, 72 or 3, that people weren't for sure, you know, they weren't positive that he would run, but he's had really a successful. He's been very involved in his first two terms, and you really you can't hardly imagine Bill Lapsley not being involved. People that know the community know he's been involved since the 70s, and ever since he came here to take a job with the Hendersonville Water Department, and then, of course, had his own very successful civil engineering firm. Mm-hmm. Among the things that have happened, completed or underway during his tenure, include the Innovative High School, Emergency Services Headquarters, Edneyville Elementary School, Hendersonville High School, Blue Ridge Community College classroom building and major manufacturing plants. Recruited during her service include RawMedic, GF Linamar, and Jable Health, which is going in that industrial park that the county and the city of Hendersonville created on the old Garrison land there off Upward Road at I-26 interchange. He defeated the incumbent, you might recall, the late Larry Young in a Republican primary in 2014 and won re-election in 2018 without opposition. So he says still more things he would like to get done, enjoys it, and so look for that as we come into not long now filing period in December for these offices.
Right, absolutely.
All right, you're listening to Lightning Radio here on WTZQ. Every Thursday morning, it's 8:14 and a half and 41 and a half degrees. We'll be back in just a bit with more stories like some big money coming into Henderson County and a four-time DWI defendant gets $1 million bond. That and more coming up on Lightning Radio.
Cold weather is coming, so you'd better be prepared. Kaysen Oil has fuel oil and K1 kerosene readily available. Schedule your delivery today by calling 693-0246. Family owned and operated Kaysen Oil, serving our community for over 40 years.
And don't forget, for local weather anytime at your fingertips, call the Kaysen Builders Weather Line at 696-1610. That's the Kaysen Builders Weather Line, 696-1610. Visit Joseph Lauder Clothier in Laurel Park Village and see the Fall 21 outerwear and scarf collection for men and women. Outerwear from Helly Hansen, Enzo, and Peter Millar. Choose waterproof jackets, reversible windbreakers, and wool shirt jackets. Ladies can try a waterproof trench coat from Helly Hansen. Coordinate a beautiful hand-loom chenille scarf by the Dunlap Weavers made in Orland, Maine. Especially for ladies, luxury scarves and wraps from Ruth Graves, NYC. Visit Joseph Lauder Clothier today and discover the fabulous Fall 21 collection.
Located in Henderson County, Salee Corporation is a designated essential supplier to the automotive, aerospace, agriculture, and food packaging industries. Salee has current openings for production positions on all shifts and is offering top wages and excellent benefit packages. This is your opportunity to become a member of the Salee team. To find out more, contact Sissy Rogers at 694-3386. That's 694-3386. Or email srogers@salee.com. Or visit them online, salee.com.
Downtown Hendersonville will light up with holiday cheer at the annual holiday tree lighting event Friday, November 26th at the historic courthouse on Main Street. All are welcome to gather and sing Christmas carols, sip hot cocoa, and watch for the man in red. Once Santa arrives at 6 p.m., he'll flip the switch to illuminate the tree on the plaza and the lights along Main Street. After the lighting, there'll be free visits with Santa and carriage rides. Visit downtownhendersonville.org for more information.
Car Stars on Upward Road wants you to know that they can handle all of your vehicle's scheduled maintenance, and chances are you'll pay less than taking it to a dealer. And if you've got holiday travel plans coming up, stop your car by Car Stars and let them give it a look over. Hey, Car Stars is growing fast, and they need good professional help. If you fit the bill, stop by Car Stars and see Rick. Car Stars on Upward Road, your family mechanic.
And we are back with Lightning Radio with Bill Moss, editor and publisher of Hendersonville Lightning and HendersonvilleLightning.com. Bill, let's start out with what looks like some pretty good money from the state coming into Henderson County.
Henderson County, State Senator Chuck Edwards said, did pretty good in this budget. And that's probably a little bit of an understatement.
Uh-huh.
This is significant. It's the first budget since, I think, 2017-18. Governor Cooper has vetoed the budget. We've seen coverage that North Carolina is the only state in the country that did not have an actual 21-22 budget. It does now. Governor Cooper said he was going to sign this one. So the Christmas tree ornaments were revealed yesterday. The big appropriations bill has a bunch of money for Henderson County, including something that the Board of Commissioners, we mentioned Commissioner Lapsey in particular, the old civil engineer, has been looking at this. Around $12.7 million for that Edneyville sewer plant, if that's the way they decide to go,
okay.
Or Edneyville sewer coverage of some form. There are versions that go from $5 million to up around $30 million, I think. There's one that they're kind of favoring. It's around $15 million of a new wastewater treatment plant on Clear Creek near in the Fruitland community. So we'll see how that goes. But that is in the budget. Let's see what else we got. Another $5 million for city wastewater treatment plant improvements, upgrades, repairs. Appropriations include $600,000 for Coosa Trail construction.
Fantastic.
$750,000 for DuPont State Forest. $1.5 million for First Contact Ministry for construction of that substance abuse treatment facility.
Yep.
That First Contact has been trying to put up for years. That is a big deal. $100,000 for the Flat Rock Playhouse. $7.5 million for a Big Hungry Dam removal project. We're going to try to bird dog that and learn a little bit more about what that even is. $1 million for the French Broad River at Pleasant Grove. I think that's you know, we're conserving Carolina, bought that that property in the old Seven Falls failed crooked development. $950,000 for Bat Creek, Bat Fork Stream restoration, and read all about more. And 300. This is a really good one. $317,000 for Laurel Green Creek restoration, right there in Laurel Park, the little Laurel Green Park right there. As you come in to Lower Laurel Park. So that's really cool. Yeah, they did very well. So both Senator Edwards and State Representative Tim Moffitt are touting this budget. They both say they're proud of it, and they ought to be.
I guess so.
It's a bunch of money. So it was state money. It was some federal ARP, American Rescue Plan money, I think is in there. So there was some money to go around this time.
Fantastic. And that's a story you have online at HendersonvilleLightning.com.
Just broke yesterday. We may put a little bit more meat on dim bones for the print issue next week, find out what a couple of those projects are in more detail and get more reaction to it. But right now, you're right, only on HendersonvilleLightning.com.
Well, let's go back to the front page of Hendersonville Lightning, which is out today. Repeat DWI defendant gets $1 million bond.
Yeah, another tip story here. This one come from Ellen Pitt, our friend from over in Maggie Valley, who is a court observer for Mothers Against Drunk Driving. And boy, gets mad about situations like Mustafa Kamel Hendy, 35, who faces four charges of driving while impaired and a mile-long rap sheet of other charges that include speeding, open container, resisting arrest, cocaine possession, burglary, possessing a narcotic while jailed, that's a good one, failure to appear, and even, wait for it, drum roll, stealing a dog. So the gentleman, after Judge Gene Johnson just about was, got after Mr. Hendy got on Judge Johnson's last nerve, Judge Johnson sent him to jail on $1 million bond.
Wow.
And he'll come up, we have that in our calendar alert, but it's soon. It's before the end of the year. It's either late November or early in December.
Okay. All right. I'm sure we'll hear more of that. Some potentially good news for the Henderson County Tourism Development Authority, where it looks like we might be getting a new hotel.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. There's already a Best Western Hampton Inn, Ramada Inn, and the Cascades Mountain Resort on Sugarloaf, at the I-26 Four Seasons Boulevard, exit, and Sanjay Patel of Greensboro-based Sugarloaf Hospitality LLC is seeking rezoning of 2.3 acres to build this other four-story hotel. The notification of the neighborhood compatibility meeting for that, which is at 2 p.m. Monday, November 22nd, this coming Monday. That'll be at the City Ops Center there on William Street off of 4th Avenue East. They don't say in that notification what brand of hotel this might be.
Okay.
But I'm sure it's one of the known national brands.
Sure, absolutely. That'll be interesting to follow also. let's stay on business for a little bit, Bill, and that is Four Seasons Ford now has a new owner. Again.
It does. Yeah, that changed. That went from the Easer family, you remember, a while ago, and became Four Seasons from some folks from out of town. I think those folks were from Florida. These folks are from North Carolina. They have dealerships in Charlotte, Kernersville, a couple of other towns. Here it is. They serve customers in Kernersville, Huntersville, and Charlotte, North Carolina, as well as Richmond, Virginia, and Greenville and Spartanburg, South Carolina. So they are nearby, and they are statewide, and they are now the owners of that Ford dealership. And what is interesting about that is that it marks a milestone for the Parks family. This is the first Ford dealership, and it's the first dealership outside of General Motors. So I guess they've had your Chevrolet, your Buick, your Cadillac, your GMC, and other makes, but not Ford.
Interesting.
Now they have Ford right there on Duncan Hill Road.
Huh. Interesting. Interesting. Well, hopefully they'll be great community friends and community partners. One of my favorite segments in Lightning Radio is KFH. Kids from here, and you got another segment.
It's our brand, yeah. It's one of our most popular brands is the Kids from Here, and boy, do we ever have kids from here that get local and statewide, and in this case, national recognition. So young Luke Morris, let me get his mother and daddy here, the son of Laura and Andrew Morris, and now a freshman at Hendersonville High School when he was a student in the wonderful English teacher Ann Boyette's classroom in Hendersonville Middle School nearly all of last year. And if you watch this movie, which I did, you watch this 9 minute and 59 second movie, documentary, you see the incredible work that went in it. And if you watch this, so let me try to describe what the competition is.
Okay.
It's formed by Ken Burns's nonprofit, the Better Angel Society, and it's dedicated to educating Americans about their history through documentary film. The competition that honored Luke's documentary drew competitors, get this, from all 50 states, China, South Korea, American Samoa, Guam, and Singapore. And during the two-day mentorship, they got to be mentored by Ken Burns.
Wow.
They got to see each other's. There were three winners, only three nationally. He was third place. There were three nationally for middle school, three for high school. Then they had a program where they talked about their films. And a host from the Library of Congress interviewed Luke and the other young filmmakers. Like we say, he's the son of Laura and Andrew Morris. He recalls it as a little boy, he wanted to be an astronaut. Then in the sixth grade, he aspired to be a doctor. And we ask his documentary filmmaker on the list now. And he says, I'm not sure about that, but I'm definitely sure that all of these skills that I have learned in this process will definitely be put to use. So you probably ask, what's the film about? It's about the origins of environmental activism, mm-hmm. John Muir, and the fight to save what was called the Hetch Hetchy. His name, Hetch Hetchy, constructing the framework for modern environmentalism. That is the story. Really, is about the damming of a river to make a reservoir to provide water to San Francisco. It did end up happening. You might say they lost the battle, but still fought the war and won other battles, including helping to form Grand Canyon National Park and to preserve the Dinosaur National Monument and many other public lands.
Wow. Well, congratulations, Luke Morris. That's fantastic. Let's touch on some community news now, Bill.
As always, excuse me, we got plenty. Came out last week. Talk about not a kid, but the person from here. We tend to win statewide recognition. And Nurse Barbara Richardson, who I think is on her way out to enjoy retirement from Pardee. She's named the Perry Anesthesia Nurse of the Year by the North Carolina Association of Perry Anesthesia Nurses.
Okay. All right.
It recognizes a nurse who demonstrates excellence in the practice management and teaching of para-anesthesia nursing. And she's been active in forming that association locally here. She began her nursing career in 1992 and has worked in a variety of departments, including the anesthesia, nurse clinician, clinical support, and lots of other good stuff.
Well, fantastic. Another very, very, very well-deserved award. Hey, high school kids, high school thespians.
More kids from here.
Yeah, more kids from here.
More
doing,
kids from
doing
here
real
going,
well.
Going down the mountain to Gardner-Webb College there, just outside of Shelby. They hauled in a total of 19 group for their whole class or their whole cast and their play and their performance to and individual awards. They brought that hardware home to Henderson County. So congratulations. Read all about all of those youngins that are here that is online as well. That just came out yesterday as well. So go to HendersonvilleLightning.com to enjoy that story.
Yep. Congratulations to those kids. Hey, great news for Interfaith Assistance Ministry. And we want to remind folks that Interfaith Assistance Ministry Holiday Food Drive is going on right now. They could use your help. But they just got some really good news.
Yes. Turkey and ham. All those other things.
And all the stuff that goes with it.
And the fixings, yeah.
Yeah.
To help pay for that service that they provide as the leading crisis services agency deliverer of Henderson County, they were recognized, Bank of America, and there were some Merrill Lynch, BOA-owned Merrill Lynch folk you know, own the folk. They own the financial advice business. They were on hand quite a pack of them, about a half dozen of them. Bankers and financial advisors were there to present this $50,000 check to Elizabeth Wilson Moss of the Interfaith Assistance Ministry. Rick Merrill was on hand. Other board members, Dick Weber, were on hand as well. And they named IAM the neighborhood champion of 2021. And that was not just for Henderson County, but for Western North Carolina.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Well, again, I sound like a broken record at another very well deserved award.
Absolutely, yeah, and that will be put to use. One of the things I think that executive director, Ms. Moss, said, they posed in front of the new thrift shop that
right.
they're putting up there. And
right.
So this will help. Some of it may go into constructing or outfitting or otherwise getting that thrift shop open. So look for that to happen in early to toward spring of next year.
Fantastic. And once again, while we're talking about Interfaith Assistance Ministry, they have a goal of making sure that they're able to give all of their clients a holiday meal. So the holiday food drive is going on right now. If you've got a Sunday school class or a neighborhood or a group that can get together and do a food drive, that would be fantastic. Or just donate food to Interfaith Assistance Ministry over on Freeman Street, over there by Blue Ridge Mall. So they appreciate all food donations. Bill, one last thing before we finish up. We want to thank you and Elizabeth and Callie. Is that her name?
It is, yeah.
For joining us at Tales in Town. Thank you. At Tales in Town this past Saturday. You got some great pictures of some of the stars of Tales in Town this past
yeah,
Saturday.
Yeah, there was a fashion show.
Uh-huh.
Callie crashed it.
good.
Well, there was a fashion show that was brought to you by
Barker's Anonymous, yeah.
right. And Callie was there as a spectator, but she crashed it in terms of the coverage. Anyway, there's some nice stuff, including Dudley.
Including
Donna's,
Dudley.
This Donna's Dudley
That's
here.
That's right.
And that is, she's a WTZQ sales rep, and her Dudley was involved.
Yep.
He was one of the stars of it. So we got, looks like, eight starring animals in all kinds of really hilarious outfits.
Well, it was a really fun day, a very successful day. A big thanks to all the folks. I've never seen as many dogs in one place as we did on Main Street this past Saturday. It was just wonderful to see.
Yeah, as we've said, we didn't have to leave our dogs comfortably at home.
Nope.
And it just kept that was kind of a highlight, is all, you know, the dogs walking down the red carpet, as it were. But you couldn't get hardly to an outside table. At the restaurants,
because
everybody had their dogs, and we all had to, even though it was a little bit chilly, we all had to eat outside. But we finally found one, and you were saying the restaurants were, they were wide open, weren't they?
Yeah, they were wide open from what we understand. All the merchants, the common consensus from the merchants is that it was a very good day for everybody. So we appreciate everybody coming out. And more importantly, we appreciate the fact that the people who came out not only came out to support Tales in Town, but also to support our downtown businesses. That's what we appreciate. We wanted to enhance downtown, not take over downtown.
So the first one downtown. Because you moved from 7th Avenue
right.
District. And
right.
So maybe look for having a second annual downtown version of it
yep.
in 22.
Working on it as we speak. As we speak. Bill, there's still so much more news in this week's Lightning. How can people pick up a copy?
Oh, by going around the county to any of the Lightning Orange racks or convenience stores or a place like a supermarket like Publix, or by going to the aforementioned HendersonvilleLightning.com and clicking on subscribe to join the growing legion of Lightning fans. Get their Lightning today, Lightning Thursday, or also very simple and easy to do. Call Jan at 698-0407.
You've been listening to Lightning Thursday with Bill Moss, editor and publisher of the Hendersonville Lightning and HendersonvilleLightning.com. This program, as well as past episodes, can be heard in their entirety on our website at WTZQ.com. Click on air and scroll down to Lightning Thursday.